It's good to be with you today. My name is Herbie Gear, as you've heard. Most people, it's kind of a hard thing to spell because I spelled my name with two B's and a Y, Herbie, and nobody gets that right. And everybody knows Greer instead of Gear, so that one's a hard one to get right also. But we're excited to be here with you today. We've been in Israel now for 24 years, and Chuck said, most of the time was down in Eilat. But this is the first time I've been able to address your congregation, so it's a delight for me to be here. We're going to do something a little bit different today. Usually I just like to open up the scriptures and go through them and dig really deep in them. But as we were talking about a month and a half ago, they asked if I'd share part of my testimony as we went through it. So I want to open up the Word, and we're going to read through some of the Word and just share through my testimony just what God has done in our lives and just helping me to understand the centrality of His Word. As we approach the holiday of Shavuot, or Pentecost, it was a time that the Jews celebrate the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai, and us as Christians, the giving of the Holy Spirit, as we celebrate the birth, truly, of the church. So as we do that, I would like to really look into the Word of God and the centrality of the Word of God and the role that has played in my life. We'll read, if you want to go ahead and open your Bibles, if you have them with you, is in Psalm chapter 119 and from verse 105 through verse 112. Psalm chapter 119, Psalm 119 verses 105 through 112. As we get ready to read that, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the grace that you've given us, for the love that you've shown us, for giving us your word, O Lord, as a foundation on which we can stand that will never move nor be shaken. We thank you for your unshakable kingdom, O Father, that you have laid out that we may stand, Lord, in a kingdom that spans not only lifetimes but into eternity. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that was given that can guide and can teach us. For, Lord, we know that we can learn nothing spiritual from one another except that your Holy Spirit can take it and bring it within our hearts and open our hearts to understand the spiritual things you want to teach us. So we ask you, Lord, today that you teach us by your Holy Spirit. I ask, O Father, that today you'd get the speaker out of the way, for his sins are many, that we can see you, Lord Jesus. For, Lord, you work salvation, you work life, and you work, Lord, eternity. So, Lord, we ask that you do that in our hearts today. Thank you for the grace you poured out. Be with us, O Lord, today. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Great. We're reading Psalm 119 from verse 105 to verse 112. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and will confirm it, that I will keep thy righteous ordinances. I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to thy word. O accept the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy ordinances. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not gone astray from thy precepts. I have inherited thy testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes forever, ever, even to the end. I've discovered within my life this very thing, that God has truly been the Word as a lamp to my feet, and a light into my path. And I believe that God has ordained His Word from the foundation of the earth. As a matter of fact, even when God created the heavens and the earth, He said, let there be light, and there was light. He spoke the Word into existence. And we also know at the right time that Jesus came as the incarnation of His Word, as His Word in flesh. I believe that God works it in many, many ways in our lives, and I know that He has used the Word in your life. I grew up in a small town called Gordo, Alabama. Anybody ever heard of Gordo, Alabama? It's population 2,000 people. Even people in Alabama don't know where it is. So I come from a very small tribe, a very small town in the midst of a small state in Alabama. As a matter of fact, I went back after living in Israel and I began to teach there, and a lady came up and said, "Where are you from?" I said, "I'm from Gordo." She said, "No, I mean, where did you grow up?" I said, "Well, I grew up in Gordo." She meant, "Well, where were you raised?" I said, "Listen, lady, I was born and raised in Gordo, Alabama. I just don't know how to talk right anymore." So you have to have a right dialect to be able to be from Gordo, Alabama. As I grew up, I was in a small church, and I know I heard many stories and good moral stories to teach you morality, but I don't remember hearing the Word of God proclaimed. I don't really remember hearing the gospel. And I went to Mississippi, and I was at a revival, and they were speaking the Word of God, and they were preaching the Word of God, and my heart became under conviction, and they had an altar call, and I went up, and said, "Yes, I want to accept Jesus." So after they took you back to a little room and they explained to you the gospel in depth, and I have to be really honest with you, it didn't make any sense at all to me. I had no understanding. And I couldn't understand. I said, "Well, that's great. You know, I guess it's just not for me." So I walked away from the church knowing that I'd heard God's word, that He had pricked my heart, but I had no understanding. A year went by, and I didn't understand anything. And after a year, I'm standing in the bathroom of my house. I'm looking in the mirror, looking at my face, and I have a question for God. God, if you're there, how could you make somebody so ugly? And at that day, it wasn't my face I saw. It's not the greatest face in the world, but it's not the worst. It wasn't my face I saw. It was my heart. And suddenly I realized what they had told me a year ago, that all of sin and fallen short of the glory of God. Suddenly I knew it didn't matter how good I was, there was sin in my life. And that sin blocked me from Jesus. There was a darkness within me that was sin within me. And no matter how good I was, it wasn't enough for God. He required perfection. He required holiness. And I was not holy. And at that time, those words came back that if I would confess Him, and if I would believe in my heart that He died in my place, and that He rose from the dead, that I could be saved. I sat back on those clothes hamper, and His word came to me that day to remind me of these things. And I said, "Lord, I don't know what this is all about. I know that I've sinned. I know that You have come and You died in my place. I know that You paid for my sin on Calvary. I don't know how that works, but all I know is I need You to come in and change me. I'll do whatever You want me to do. I go to church every Sunday." That's the only thing I knew about being a Christian, is I'll go to church every Sunday. But He knew I meant it. "Whatever You want, I will do in my life. Come in and change me." And that's all I knew to ask for. That night, there was no lightning from heaven. There was no earthquake. But there was a still, small peace within my heart that entered that time. I began to know that God had changed me. And later on, I was walking with some friends. And suddenly, I started looking at my friends. I said, "Why is it that all of my friends are looking at me differently?" And suddenly I understood it wasn't them looking at me differently. I was looking at them differently. That God had put a love in my heart that began to be planted as a seed that changed my life. That began not as a religion that we change the outside and somehow hope and pray that that will change the inside. But suddenly I realized when I accepted Him by faith through His Word, according to what His Word says in the book of Romans, that He suddenly began to change my heart. And out of the heart, the changes came into my life. And that's the difference between a religion and a relationship with God. God was very good. I wound up going to the University of Alabama. I was studying engineering. And at Alabama, I remember coming out of my calculus classes. And I remember my head was just spinning. And just saying, "Lord, You didn't say it would be easy, but You did promise You'd get me through this. Whatever You want in my life, that's what I want." And I remember getting through that calculus. I was from a boy of 2,000 going to a university that the University of Alabama at that time had 18,000 students. And it was just an overwhelming experience, and yet knowing the nearness of God in that time. As my second semester began, I decided that I would do something. It's called co-oping, that I would get a job working in engineering while I went to school. And so I went and I applied for it, and I wound up with a job working for Southern Company. It was in a power company, but it was the nuclear power end of the industry, and I was able to work within that. And it was just really neat having a job and moving forward, and everything was going so great. And I remember just the song that God put in my heart in the time as I walked with Him and as I knew Him and as I knew that He would be a light into my path. And a lamp into my feet, or a lamp into my feet and a light into my path. And I remember walking. My mother worked in the bank in Gordo, and I walked in. And as I walked in the door, I remember the people say, "Hey, Herbie, I heard you got the scholarship. Way to go!" And Herbie, I saw that I've heard you got a job in engineering. You're moving up to Birmingham, and you're going to be able to work and go to school. Man, that's great! And I could see my mom back there in the back. Let me tell you about my son. And you know how parents are. I'm sure you've bragged about your kids. And if we had a couple of hours, I'd start telling you about my son Joel that's now at Auburn University and how he's doing at school. But I won't do that. But as that time went, it says that not only is he a light into my path, he leads us to salvation through his word. But not only that. It says in this, in verse 107, "I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word." And God is always faithful to carry us through those struggles as I went through university and I went into life. And one night, about 3 o'clock in the morning, I was in my apartment at school and there was a knock at the door. And as I opened the door, there was my sister. She's 19 years older than I am. She lived right next to us in Gordo. And it was my sister from back home, and it's a friend of hers, and it was the pastor from our church. And they said, "Get Ronnie. He was my roommate. He's now my brother-in-law. We were rooming together then." He said, "We have something to tell you." And they said, "Herbie, there was a fire tonight at the house, and Mom and Dad are dead. I went to bed that night. I had parents. I had a home. I had things. And the next morning I woke up and there was nothing left. But God has promised, 'I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word.'" That day we went to pick up my sister. She was at nursing school in the same city in Tuscaloosa. And I remember still hearing her cry in the back when they told her the news that our parents had died. I went home and there wasn't much left. But it was a small town. And the people there just came and loved you. And we didn't have much time to think about it. And we dealt with the issue. And I went back to school to pick up some clothes and some things because I had nothing there. And it was just 25 miles away. And I went. I was supposed to have this big calculus test. And as I went across the floor to meet the professor to tell him I wasn't going to take the test, he met me in this big auditorium. He met me on the floor and walked me outside and said, "Herbie, you didn't need to come. I read in the paper. I know about your mom and dad." And I said, "Well, I just needed to say that mom and dad were," and I couldn't get the words out. I went back home, and again, I was at my sister's house. And everybody was there, but then it got to be the time of night that everybody goes to bed. And I was going to be sleeping on the couch, and it was right next to our home. I could still smell the smoke from our home that had burned. I don't guess I've been more lonely in all my life because I didn't know what the future held. I had nothing left. I looked up on the piano, and there was a Bible. I pulled it down, put it on the couch that I was going to be sleeping on that night. And I knelt down there and I opened up the Bible and said, "God, when I came to you, you promised in your word that you would be here in these kinds of times. Is it true? Is your word true? Or is it just a fairy tale? And right now, God, I have to be honest with you. I don't know what the answer is. All I know is, if you're there, I need a word from you tonight. And I have to be honest, I don't know how to find any help in your word. 2 miles wide and 2 inches deep, right? That's where I was. I didn't know how to find help. So I just flipped the Bible open and I said, Lord, I don't even know where to start. Where do I read? And I flipped it open and I wound up in Matthew, and I flipped it open just like this to Matthew chapter 5. And it says this. And when he saw the multitudes, he went up on the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And opening his mouth, he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then I got to verse 4. And his word says this. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And suddenly, in the midst of the greatest tragedy and the worst loneliness I've ever known in my life, suddenly the greatest peace I've ever felt washed across my soul. And you've seen the weather in Alabama. We have tornadoes coming through. And I remember when these storms would come through, I'd jump up in my father's lap and my father would put his arms around me. Nothing could touch me in my father's arm. I was safe. And suddenly my heavenly Father put his arms around me and I knew that I was safe. And I really felt the Lord begin to speak to my heart that night. He said, Herbie, I'm here just like I have promised. I will be a father to the fatherless, and I will be your father. It was 5 years later before I ever read those words in the Psalms that he says, I am a father to the fatherless. And those are the very words that he spoke to me that night. God speaks to us through his word. His word is alive and it's active and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, being able to pierce the division of heart and soul, of bone and marrow. His word works within our life. It was in those days that I knew what it was like to be in an attitude of prayer. I could not breathe without speaking to God. I could not go minutes without basking in His presence. His presence carried me and He showed me His goodness. But I still didn't know how to be in the Word. And even in those days, as He strengthened me and He carried me, the voice of the world continues to cry out. Even it says it here in verse 110. The wicked had laid a snare for me, yet I have not grown astray from thy precepts. Even into the things that I was being taught by the world and not by the word, I somehow knew that the word was there within my heart, but the world was pulling in many different ways. And I have to be honest with you, I sought to get into the world in many, many different ways. And it's really neat that God closed many doors and didn't allow me to go in those directions. But He kept me in His way and in His path. He preserved me even at that time. I graduated from the University of Alabama and I continued to work with the same company and worked in the nuclear power industry for 10 years. And during that time, He moved me from Birmingham, where I was working, to Vidalia, Georgia. And in Vidalia, Georgia, there was a little Baptist church called First Baptist Church of Vidalia, Georgia. And it's in that church that I found people my own age who were sincerely seeking God, that were learning His Word. And I got involved in the church and I was growing a lot and I was really involved in the church. And one night, a guy that worked with me that also went to the church, his name was Steve Brunson. And Steve said, Herbie, can I come by your house tonight? I need to talk to you. I said, sure, Steve, come and talk to me. It'll be great. And he came and he talked for an hour. He didn't say anything. It was just chit-chat for an hour. So finally I said, Steve, didn't you say you wanted to come and talk to me about something? He said, Herbie, thanks for allowing me. God really just put something on my heart and I need to say it to you. I said, well, speak it, Steve. He said, well, I see how involved you're getting in church. And that's great. He said, but when do you spend time alone with God? When do you spend time alone with God? I said, well, Steve, you know, I'm getting ready to run. I know it doesn't look like it now. I'm getting ready to run 10-kilometer race, and I've been training for that. And when I'm running, I'm really talking to God, and I'm praying, and I'm talking to Him, and God is just really talking to me. And he said, you know, Herbie, thank you. That was just so hard for me to say, but I just needed to say that to you. And thanks for hearing, and I'm glad to hear that everything's good with you. He never tried to convince me. He never tried to convict me. He just spoke the words that God has put on his heart to speak to me. 3 days later, God began to work on my heart. And he said, you say that you believe the entire Word of God. Everything written in this book, you say you believe. But you've not read it all. You've read parts of it. You tried to read, but you haven't been faithful in reading my word. You're not reading my words. You're not hiding my word in your heart. You know what? That makes you a hypocrite. Now, if my friend had called me a hypocrite, I think I would have been hurt. If my friend had called me a hypocrite, I think I might have gotten angry. But when God calls you a hypocrite, then you better get busy. And I went to the pastor. I said, I don't know how to have a quiet time. What do I even do? How do I get into the Word? I don't know. He gave me a schedule that reads 3 places in the Bible every day and gets you through the Bible in a year. He said, read this, but don't just read it. Take a notebook and write 25 words or less every day, something God is teaching you. Therefore, you're not looking just to finish what reading the Word, but you're looking and seeking for God in it, for Him to speak to your heart. And I began to do that. My life was transformed because until that time, I did not know that He could teach me through His Word. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I grew up in some spacecraft somewhere. I don't know. I didn't have a clue that God, through His Holy Spirit, could take His Word written 2,000, 3,000 years beforehand and could speak to my heart and could teach me by His Holy Spirit. I had no concept. I don't know where I heard that. I thought I had to have a preacher. I don't know where I picked up those ideas, but I had no clue. And God began to speak to my heart, and He began to show me the snares of the devil by which I'd been held in my thought process and in my life. And He began to show me that He could set me free from those things. And He began to fill my heart with His joy, not just in knowing His salvation, but knowing His Word and knowing that His Word could work in my life. That is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's in that time that I remember I was sitting in a Dairy Queen, a little restaurant in the United States, and I looked outside in the spring day, and God began to speak to my heart and say, Herbie, do you see how beautiful it is? Yeah. You see how blue the clouds are? Wow. And how white the white the clouds are in this blue sky and the new leaf on the tree in the spring. I said, wow, it's a neat, neat day, God. And He said to me, do you know these people you're reading about? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Paul, Peter. When they walked the earth, the days were the same. They were no different. But they asked me and I made them into a godly man. And I said, God, you mean that you can make me into a godly man? Without a seminary degree? Without really understanding? You can make me godly? I knew you could save me, but I didn't know you could make me a godly man. I want to be a godly man. You know, even just the other day, God reminded me. I said, God, I still want you to make me a godly man. He's not done with me yet. He's still working on us day by day, minute by minute, taking His Word, putting it in our heart, helping us not to be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. God is so intimate. Through His Son, Jesus, He gave everything that we could start life brand new. that He could take and give us His Holy Spirit by purifying our temple, that He could teach us through His Word. I remember I was getting ready to run this 10 race, and it was a South Georgia day, and it was so hot. And I was running, and I had not drank like I should the day, and I knew as I ran that my body was about to begin to hurt itself. And I didn't know what to do. And there was houses there, but I didn't know anybody. And I'm running down the street, and I said, if I don't get water in just a few minutes, my body's really going to begin to hurt itself. I got to do something. And as I came to a place, there was a Y in the road where the road split. And for some reason, in the grass between that road where it split, there was a little water spigot sticking up there. Just by itself, in the middle of this Y. And I ran over and I turned it on and I began to suck the water down and I began to just my body refreshing itself, and you could just feel it as it went down and as it penetrated all the cells within the body, and I was replenished by the water. And I remember then God spoke to my heart and said, Herbie, why don't you hunger and thirst for me like you thirst for this water? I said, Lord, I'm reading your word, but I have to be honest with you. I don't thirst for it. Why, Lord? Why don't I thirst for you like I thirst for this water? Because without your word, I will destroy myself. I will go into wrongness. I will go into sin. I will go into every evil thing. Why don't I thirst for your word like I thirst for this water? And God began to speak to my heart and said, Herbie, have you ever asked for the thirst? And Lord, I say to you, let me thirst for your word. Let me thirst for you like I thirst for water when I have nothing to drink. Let me hunger for you like I hunger for food when I haven't eaten. I want to have such a hunger and a thirst for your word that it cannot be quenched except by your Spirit. And you know, God heard me. And He's given me a hunger and a thirst for His Word. Every once in a while I'll miss. I won't read every day. I try to. But the days I miss, I get so hungry. I get so thirsty. Because it is life. There are many words that are spoken in the world. There are words in advertising every day. There are words in music. As a matter of fact, you know, I saw later on when I was there in Vidalia, Georgia, I started listening to Christian music instead of the worldly music. And I actually didn't have time to watch the TV. And, you know, I suddenly understood that the world was trying to teach me many things. I turned the radio back on after that, and I listened. It was like Rod Stewart, you know, tonight's night. And he wasn't talking about going out and having a pizza. And I wondered why my heart yearned for sin. And I realized I was feeding my mind these things. I turned the TV set back on, and there was a nice, looked like a family program called Love Boat. When I turned it back on and I saw that, some of you, I'm dating you now. I know some of you guys never heard of that. But it wasn't really Love Boat. It was called Lust Boat. It should have been called Lust Boat. And I really realized that I choose what I will feed my mind and my heart. Will you choose? Will you, at this time, as we come into Shavuot, when the Torah was given at Sinai, when the Holy Spirit was given here in Jerusalem, will you seek His face diligently? For Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and I will confirm that I will keep Thy righteous ordinances. I'm exceedingly afflicted. Revive me. Revive me, O Lord, according to Thy Word. O, accept the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me Thy ordinances. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget Thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not gone astray from thy peace precepts. I have inherited thy testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes forever, even until the end. My road has been a long one. From Gordo, Alabama to Israel, who could have ever figured it? I could have never imagined in all of my days. But in those days when I was running in Eilat, God called me to this place. Go figure. God does not have to use us, but He has chosen to. And we desire it. God does not have to reveal Himself to us through His Word, but He has chosen to. He is a rewarder of those who seek Him diligently. It says in the book of Revelation, you have lost your first love. Lost your first love. Would you go back and do the things you did at first so that you may be restored? I've been young. I'm not so young anymore. Not yet old. Getting there, but not yet. Yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his young begging for bread. What are we hoping in? We can analyze the Word of God. We can study it. We can take it apart. We can put it back together. But unless we get still and we allow the Lord to use His Word within our heart, it's vanity. Hevel hevelim, vanity upon vanities. When you started, when you came to Him, when you got saved, do you remember the first time that you opened the Word and suddenly you knew that He taught you from His Word by His Spirit? Don't let it be stolen. Don't let it be taken away. His Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light into my path. Let's pray. Father, grandiose words don't get it. Our heart is broken before You. Unless You heal us, Lord, we will not be healed. We become so prideful and so arrogant. Lord, we want the humility of sitting at Your feet and learning from You. We come to You, Lord, and You have even said that Your yoke is easy and Your burden light. For Lord, we have not strength to even pick up Your Word. And yet You promised by Your Holy Spirit that You would open Your Word to us. So we cry out right now, make us into godly men and women. Lord, You shed Your blood for us, that we may be forgiven, that we may have Your Holy Spirit, that we may learn, that we may be salt, that we may be light, that we may be hope, that we may be, Lord, all things that You want us to be in this world. But Lord, so many times we get distracted from the simplicity of just walking with You. We ask You this day, Lord, for each one here, as they open Your Word this day, that You'd speak to their heart by Your Spirit. For Lord, Your words are life, and Your words are light, and Your words are the hope of the entire universe. Not only for now, but forever. A hope that spans all of eternity, that spans our lifetime. that heals our hurts, that brings us, oh Lord, into your grace. So Lord, we commit ourselves to you once again and say you and you alone are the Lord of our lives, and there is no one else. There is no other God like you. There's no one else but you. Make us into godly men and women. In Jesus' name, B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
We're going to sing in closing, but how many would admit, confess that this message has had the potential of changing lives? From those who possibly have heard this for the first time and can identify with Irby, and it doesn't quite make sense, but the Lord wants you to call on him and ask him to come in and start that process of making his word alive in your life. And for those of us who have been around for a while, who have gotten perhaps callous to certain portions of his word, and this message has the potential of helping us to rekindle that first love and to return, like in Revelation, to the first works that he's called us to do. Let's all stand and let the Holy Spirit speak to your life. Whatever the need might be, you can call on him and receive him for the first time. Receive him as Lord and Savior. Or you can recommit your life to not following your own wisdom, your own understanding, but seeking his word to come in and transform even an old believer like some of us are here today. Let's sing in closing. Father, I believe that there are those here this morning that would confess that they haven't, perhaps they haven't received you as Lord and Savior, and they'd like to do that at this time. And we pray that they'd allow the Holy Spirit to do that deep work of transformation, of salvation, and that before they leave this place, they would confess to someone the great step that they've made in their heart in this time of prayer. And Lord, for those of us who've been walking with you and made wrong choices, Lord, we pray you'd minister to us even in a deep, profound way, that we can choose to walk after you, that we don't have to feed on that which would draw us down, drag us down, but feed on your word that can be a light to our path. We bless you, we praise you, we glorify your name. Send us out into the world to reflect your glory and light to a world that needs you. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Greet one another. Bless one another. Get to know the new folks amongst you. Amen.